Yo, welcome to the Two Broken NYC podcast. This right here is Johnny Facts. I'm right here with my co-host, Axel Flex, flexing on the ground.
Everybody.
Hey, man, you know I gotta give that praise, you know what I'm saying? Flexing on that gram, flexing on that social media, you know what I'm saying? Gotta flex.
I flex over voice, not in person, by the way, guys.
So before we get into today's topic, we just gotta tell you the war stories you have in being in New York, you know what I'm saying? Because this is a New Yorkers podcast, we'll be here. So,
yeah,
Axel.
Yep. Thank you, Johnny. So today, me and my girl was like, let's grab some Domino's for lunch. So I went on the Domino's app. I don't know if you ever used it before. I placed my order. That where you use a coupon. Once you get two or more items, $5.99 for each. So we ordered two pies, a sandwich, and some cheesy bread. It was being pretty fat. So. Place that order. I went to pick it up. I get in the store. There's two people ahead of me, so I'm gonna let the two of them go, and then when it's my turn, I was planning to just pick everything up. This dude just like storms in the store. He like pushes the door open. You know those like little bells they have above doors at stores sometimes where like makes like a little noise when a door opens? So, like, that just starts going off when he slams the door open. The guy just makes, like, some type of movie entrance. Thinks something's about to go down. He walks straight past me and the two other people, go straight up to the cash register, and guess what he starts complaining about?
Is he complaining that the uncooked food, uncooked that pizza, that down old shitty-ass pizza?
You see, that's what I was expecting. He's like, yo, give me back my dollar. And I'm just like, what? All of this for a dollar? And then he's like, I placed my order over the phone. You told me it was going to be $13.05. I got in my car. I checked my credit card bill on the app. And you know what I saw? So $14.05. Give me back my dollar. So me and everybody else are just like, is this guy serious right now? We just either try to place our order or pick our stuff up. And then, you know what he does? You know what he does, Johnny?
What he did?
He's like, ain't nobody placing no orders or doing nothing until I get my dollar back. So the guy behind the, behind, like, the window, well, not even the window, I guess the counter, he said, he's like, please, sir, please calm down. Let me resolve this, but can I just take these guys' orders? They've been standing here for a little while. He's like, no. I want my dollar or nobody getting their food.
That's a typical New Yorker, man. That is a typical New Yorker. We do not have the courtesy of stepping aside and let someone else just get their day done. No.
Yeah, but like, man, so now the guy behind the counter, he looks stressed. It looks like he hasn't deal with nobody like this. He probably knew. So he's like, all right, sir, can I see the receipt? So the guy's like, what receipt? I lost it. And then he's like, but you just walked out the store. He's like, yeah, I lost it on the way out.
Wait, you mean for real? Like, he said he lost the receipt.
Yeah. So now the Domino's guy's like, all right, I have to go and look through, I guess, like, the order history, whatever the case is. So he's looking through. He finds his order. He's like, yes, I billed you for $14.05. He's like, yeah, but over the phone to the guy that's complaining. He's like, over the phone, you told me that it's going to be $13.05. Well, why are you billing me an extra dollar? So now the guy has to look through and see what he placed. He placed an order for his pizza, but then he tells the guy that's complaining now. He's like, sir, you clicked yes on the option to donate when you paid with your credit card. I don't know if you ever seen that option when you go places. They'll like ring you up and they'll be like, yeah, do you want to donate or whatever the case is? Have you ever seen that before?
Oh, yeah, a couple times, man. When I went.
So he's like, yeah, well, I didn't click that. And then the guy was like, yeah, but you did. He's like, I'll what you're talking about, man. I never seen that in my life. So now the guy was like, sir, we really can't refund you that dollar. You don't need it. And then the guy was like, well, it looks like you ain't getting no orders for the rest of the day. And then everybody just standing there. Kid you not, about 5 minutes goes by, nobody says anything in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy that's right in front of me, he's like, all right, I'm tired of this. He's like, all right, I'm placing my order right now. Let me get a large veggie pizza. So now the guy that's complaining, he's like, you can wait for your veggie pizza after I get my dog.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the dude that's a dollar short on the MTA bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The slight that he didn't have the courtesy to wait at the end of the line. He's in the front and he's like, yo, come on, driver. It's only 275. I get you 175. You only dollar. Come on, man. I gotta go.
Johnny, but has that ever happened to you, though, where you bought the swipe in your MetroCard on the bus and you actually short a couple, like quarters or whatever the case is?
I always have exact change, so I could, but yes, that happens to me a lot of times, always that one dude, and here's the thing, you can tell, yeah. I don't know what other people, but you can tell that someone who's waiting on you for the bus, with you, don't have no money at all because they're itching to be first. They're itching to be first. Just so they can go quickly tell the bus driver, look, man, I lost my Metro card. You think you might just let me slide in for a bit? I got you tomorrow. And the bus driver's like, look, I can't do that. It's not policy, my man. I can't do it. And then the guy starts cursing. What you mean? What you mean? It's only 275, man. 275, man. Come on. And you're just like, and now everyone behind him is like, yo, dude, I gotta go to work. I gotta go to work, man. I can't be late. My boss is on me today. He's on me this month, right? I gotta go to work, man. Come on.
And that's when he gets everybody like, y'all ain't going to work until I get on this bus.
And then, dude, I'm telling you right now, anyone who's listening to this who's not in New York City, you guys, I gotta say, it's luck not deal with this. This is the most frustrating thing about New Yorkers. We really don't care about common courtesy. We only care about getting our own. We only care about getting our own to the point it's like you would screw over someone else's schedule. You know?
You know, there's no hospitality in the New York City. It's all about, I ain't getting it, nobody getting it. End of story.
Yep. When you take the subway, right? You ever saw that one guy that would, like, run towards the doors, the subway doors, while the train about to leave, and just, like, hold the doors before it closed?
Yep. And it's worse. The subway be so packed, the guy will get on, the door can't even close, and then he start yelling at everybody to make room for him.
He's like,
yo, make room for me, otherwise we ain't going nowhere.
Yo, you stepped on my shoe, man. You stepped on my shoe. Yo, get your ass out my face, man. Come on. I gotta go to work. Fine. If you want to move, this train ain't moving. And the conductor, the train conductor, you can tell he angry. With the announcement, like, yeah. Yo, dude. There was actually one time, right? Some woman got in the train by using her baby stroller to block the doors. And as she walked in, the train conductor saw that and said, oh, nice parenting. Great. You're mother of the day. Mother of the day.
Alright, so one time I'm taking the train, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this baby starts crying, and the baby's crying and crying, and it's like this new couple. They look like they just had the kid. The kid probably like 4 or 5 months old. You know, it looks like they have no parenting experience or whatever. So this older lady that look, you know, she's older. She's like, hey guys, maybe the kid just wants you to pick him up for a couple of minutes or whatever the case is. You know, obviously she probably has more experience because she's been a mother longer. Mm-hmm. You know the two kids turn around, or the younger couple turns around and tells the older lady,
"Mind your business."
Exactly.
Because that happens. That's New Yorkers. Even if we give each other nice advice, we will just look at that person and just say, "So, why you watch me, man?
Yeah.
Am I entertaining to you?"
The poor lady is trying to help this younger couple out because they don't. It looks like they need help. You know, and every new couple needs help. It's not a new couple, but every new parents, they need help. My bad. And they just straight up tell me, he's like, "Yo, mind your business, man. Don't tell me what to do." And then the girl is like, she wants to get up off her seat. She's like, "You want to fight me?" And the lady's like, "No, I was just trying to offer some advice." And it's like, "No, we don't want your advice. Mind your damn business."
Did I ask for your advice? Did I ask you for your advice?
I don't know what it is with these guys. So what would you have done though, Johnny? If someone was offering you some advice while you were on the train, would you respond with the "mind your damn business"? Or how would you respond?
Oh, I'll say thank you. I'll say thank you. This is my first time being a father, and I just don't know how to coddle my kid correctly. Then it's like an old lady tells me how to do it correctly. I'll say, "Oh, thank you. I'm trying to get this kid to sleep for 4 hours, man. I needed that. Thank you."
But you see, folks, in New York, when someone offers you kind advice or someone's trying to help you, the common thing, the courteous thing to do when you're a New Yorker is to smack them in the face. Mm-hmm. That's how you thank somebody around here. You'd be like, "Word? You ain't minding your damn business? Come here."
Oh, dude, that is the biggest thing about New Yorkers. We are big on just mind your business. To the point where even the MTA has to have a sign and have the train operators to announce, "Hey, if you see something suspicious happening in the subway, please say something.
Please say something. I know everyone wants to mind their business, but please say something.
If you see something, say something."
Well, let me tell you, man. It's just, New Yorkers are one of a kind, man. It's entertainment no matter where you go.
Oh.
Back to my domino story, though, Johnny. Where was I?
You was at the part where the guy in front of you can no longer wait for the other guy to get his dollars. So we just went like, "You know what? Let me get a veggie pizza," and then
And this veggie pizza was very specific. He was like, "Let me get a large veggie, thin crust, hold the mushrooms, and hold the olive, but I want all the other vegetables." And then the guy was like, "You get in that after I get my dollar back." That's exactly where I was. But that veggie pizza, I can never forget it. He was so specific. I didn't even think about these combos for veggie pizza. So then, anyways, Mr. My Dollar Back then starts complaining even more. The guy behind the counter gets so fed up. Do you know what he does?
What I'm guessing is he either bangs the counter or he just says, "Whoa, gentlemen, whoa, hang on a minute. Sir, I understand that you're distressed about this dollar situation, even though you pressed the donation button, I didn't. Let me go take care of this other customer. He just wants his veggie sandwich, his veggie pizza, because he wants to eat some junk food, but still think he's healthy. All right, let me go sell."
Hey man, he's getting a thin crust, by the way, guys. Thin crust with vegetables. That's way less carbs.
It's pizza.
You gotta start somewhere, man. You gotta start.
It's pizza though. It's pizza though. If you want to start somewhere,
but he started somewhere. You know, he went from a lot of carbs to a very thin amount of carbs, man. Gotta respect that. Gotta respect it. But just me, on the other hand, if I'm getting a pizza, give me the pizza. I don't want no thin crust, get that shit out of here.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm saying right now, the first time I actually went to a fancy place to get pizza and the slice was super thin. Mm-hmm. I almost pulled the waiter back and said, "Hey, hang on, how much you charge me for this? $3."
Hey man, you ever heard that phrase, less is more? That's what it is.
Mm-mm. Less is supposed to be cheaper. Okay, less is less. Okay, if I want more, you charge me more. When I want the extra toppings, you know, charge me more. If I got, I'm asking for less, charge me less. Don't screw that order up. Come on.
Yeah, but so what the guy behind the counter did, like I said, he's new. It looks like he just started working there. Probably just started working in just like the whole fast food hospitality industry. Poor dude takes out his wallet and gives him $1.
Oh.
He's like, here, man, sorry for the confusion. I didn't mean to. And then I think the two people that were in front of me and myself, we both felt bad for the kid because the kid looked pretty young. Probably like, I'd say the most 17, probably for his job, everything. So the kid didn't know what to do. So the guy literally snatches $1. He's like, yeah, that's what I thought. And then he walks up.
Oh, that dude's a scumbag. That's a scumbag move.
That's a messed up crap. He's like, yeah, man, trying to charge me extra dollar. So then the guy that was the veggie pizza, he's like, hey, man, don't worry about that. And then he's like, so then he puts in his order, and the guy gets his veggie. Well, he has to wait because he didn't place his order over the phone, so the guy tells him 15 minutes. The guy behind him just gets a cheese pie, same thing, 15 minutes, and then I'm like, hey man, can I get my pizza? He's like, yeah. Unfortunately, at this point, 20 minutes or so went by. My pizza was not steaming hot, but I was not going to give the kid a hard time. I got a microwave at home. Took my pizza and I went home.
Yeah, man. I don't think that kid wanted more problems. He's like, look, man, I asked for fresh baked pizza. Why is it cold?
Why? Did I ask for frozen pizza? If I did, I would have got DiGiorno's, not Domino's.
And he's like, and so I was like, oh my god, why I chose to work at Domino's? Why?
Why? Nah, poor kid, man. He had to give like, the guy $1 out of his own wallet. Because, I mean, the guy paid with a credit card. Like, how is he supposed to refund that? And he chose to do a donation. I don't even think Domino's has a refund policy to begin with. So, like, what is the kid supposed to do?
I honestly don't know, because if I was in that situation, I would just be staring at the dude like, hey, dude, yeah. You did that to yourself. The glitch is not on me. It's on you. You did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was a pretty young kid. The guy that was yelling at him was a much older guy, so he probably felt really intimidated. We all felt bad for the kid. Everyone tried to be nice to him after that. But that was my Domino's story. So to anyone listening out there, if you're in New York and you want to get Domino's, please just do delivery. Don't even go to pick up anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And if you do pick up, tip them.
Yeah.
Tip.
but that was my Domino's story. So everyone that's listening, I know in last week's episode we started to touch on the sensitivity of TV shows that were made in the past and how viewers would react to it today. I know we cut off on it because we wanted to save that topic.
Hang on. It wasn't what we left off at. Wasn't television. It was about hip hop because I was talking about how like I'm glad that we got to see 50 Cent when he was young in the early 2000s versus now.
Yes.
With Twitter. And I asked you, like, would you think the rap game and New York itself be a different place if Twitter would have happened way in early 2000s? I'm talking 2002. Because I feel like New York will be much more crazier than it was back then. Much more crazier.
Yes. Yes. And actually, yes. I mean, if you were to combine Twitter with things such as Instagram and Facebook back when these rappers were dissing each other and then shooting them and stuff, it's a different ballgame altogether.
Mm-hmm. Because dude, I can just imagine this. Like, after 50 Cent got shot 9 times, the thugs that shot him would be on Facebook Live. Just like, yeah, I did it. Yeah, do something. King of New York, man. You ain't no King of New York.
And that's when he responds back, but I'm still alive in the hospital room. And then that's when they'd be like, oh, where'd you tag the location? Then I'm gonna pull up.
And then, yo, all the street beefs. Dude, back in the day, right, if you had a problem with somebody, you had to go talk to that person. You have to say it to their face versus Twitter and Instagram. You can just talk mad bull to saying, yo, James need to shut his mouth, bro, so he's going to get smacked in the face. You know what I'm saying? Yo, east side, you know what I'm saying? East side. And James replied back, really? Really, Monty? That's how you feel? All right. Cool. I'll catch you at the schoolyard. I will catch you at the schoolyard. Because that's Chicago right now. Chicago Twitter is a denchment over there, man. It's a denchment over there.
I think it's not just Twitter, you know, just like the whole social media platform in general. Once you call somebody out, somebody else is gonna have they're gonna respond back. And whether they choose to respond back solely on social media or they choose to have a physical altercation after, chances are it's, you know, being brought to light and being publicized so much because of social media. Whether they're just using it to publicize maybe a album release or whatever the case is, it definitely does lead to more violence. And I think if this happened back in like the 50 Cent era or, you know, like the Game era, like definitely would have had way more violence.
Dude, I'm gonna put more perspective on this. The beef between Meek Mills and Drake started from Twitter.
Yes.
And that was a crazy beef. It cost the career of one ghostwriter, Quentin Miller. That dude is struggling to get back in the game. But that's how it is. That's how it is. Well,
I mean, you know, I feel like rappers are smart about it too. A lot of times they have beefs and it puts them in the media, puts them in the spotlight, gets them more popular, or like, they may already be popular, but then it gets people talking about them even more, and then they might drop something, they drop an album or a song, whatever the case is. You know, I feel like it's also part of it, like their marketing strategy, if that makes sense.
Well, one rapper that actually was great at marketing himself with Riff Raff is the King of the Trolls, who he calls himself the new King of New York, Tekashi 6ix9ine. And he was king. He was the King of Trolls. He was popular on social media. You know, like, he's always involved in some type of situation. And his...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Sorry, but, yeah, I mean, just his Instagram alone, a couple million followers, that's more than enough to monetize and make well over 6 figures just on social media alone, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Definitely. Like, I would say I'm glad social media happened now versus back then, because now everybody has clear heads, you know, like the egos they have is not going to result in violence. Now they're clear enough to like use it to promote their albums, especially for like independent artists, you know, artists that don't go through the machine, they don't do no labels. Yeah. It's much easier for them to promote their work. Versus back then. If social media was back then, the Ja Rule and 50 Cent, that would be drastic. That would be a situation that like everybody would be talking about, because 50 Cent really went at Ja Rule. He really went at him.
Yeah, no, definitely agree with you on that, John. I guess what we can talk about now, Johnny, is what I was planning to, which is the sensitivity of old TV shows and how it would be perceived today and how much criticism they may have gotten. And what I mean by that is the cartoons of today, not today, of the past, mm-hmm. the regular TV shows of the past the humor within it, I would say in today's society, they would not just consider these cartoons and TV shows to be not for kids, but I think they would just, the audience of today would say that it's just too insensitive in the modern era. What is your take on that?
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree, man. Like, a lot, like, times is different back in the day. Like, the things that people was worrying about, like, now, was not considered. It was not considered back in the day, you know?
No. I mean, a simple example to anyone listening, if you were to go and watch the original couple of seasons of just a Pokemon cartoon TV show for kids, prime example would be the character Brock. He would be flirting with every single girl he met on the TV show. You compare that to today's Pokemon, where it's very childish today, in a sense, where they don't do these types of things. And even in the original episode, the way I perceived it was that Ash used to like Misty. I don't know if you ever perceived it that way, Johnny.
Dude, I thought Ash was into every new girl companion he's in. I'm like, yo.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is that aspect of it. But the Pokemon of today, I think it's just a completely different show. Even Ash looks way more like a kid than he used to back then. And he apparently has not aged. And this dude is probably just as old as us now.
Oh, no. He's older than us. Ash found the Fountain of Youth, or he must have found a legendary Pokemon that liked him so much as a kid. It's like, hey, Ash, I'm going to make you a kid forever.
Let me see. If I remember correctly, I think he's supposed to be 10 years old at the start of the show. And the show started in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely older than us. But the kid looks like he's still 10 years old. He probably looks younger than that now.
Yeah. And...
No,
I was gonna add more to the point, like, when you look at, like, the new Pokemon anime, like, really make the design look very kid versus the original look where, like, Ash is 10 years old, but you think, like, he at least 14 in the face.
Yes.
He looked 14 in the face.
And the thing about it, I feel like the episodes today, the content on Pokemon today, let me get a good example. Back when, I'd say like 2005, maybe to 2008 era, the type of shows I was getting put out, I don't know if you ever watched this, what was called Nick Jr. or that Disney Channel morning program where they have like kids, the shows for like the much younger kids, I'd say the audience of 5 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Pokemon was suiting for these kids. Whereas now, Pokemon, instead of being tailored for kids that age, back then it used to be tailored for kids in their, like, later, early adolescence, teenage years.
Like 9, 10, 11.
12, 13. Yeah, because, I mean, Pokemon, it actually gets very technical when you think about just, like, the different characters in there, the types of Pokemon, all these other things. It is a child's game, but at the same time, it's not something that a 5-year-old kid would understand, per se.
Oh, yeah, no. Like,
I think the humor in the show back then was tailored to a bit older kids, whereas now, even if it is tailored for kids of the same age, they take that sense of humor that a kid would have had back then and they try to water it down and make it even more kid-friendly and more sensitive instead of insensitive.
Dude, I would say even, you remember Digimon back in the day?
Yes.
Digimon has a couple of jokes here and there where, like, one digital monster was flirting with one of the female protagonists. And even, mm-hmm. They do a lot of, like, poop jokes too in there.
Yeah.
Which they're not doing now.
Exactly. And whenever I think of this topic, the one show, not even kid show, that pops to mind, but the one show that I think would probably have gotten canceled and maybe even removed from television altogether, if it was to just start from season 1, episode 1, brand new episode, never existed in the past, would be The Office.
Oh yeah, nah. The Office lives on the edge. There's a lot of shows that live on the edge, and The Office is one of them. Like, I would say WWE. You ever watched as a kid?
Yes.
If anyone who's listening right now is young, like they was born around say 2005, you don't know. What you're watching now is not how it used to be.
You remember D-Generation X?
Yes.
They like suck it and then they just like grab somebody's like face and just like bring it down.
Yes, dude.
Something like that would not fly today.
Dude, remember when?
I'm sure the writers at WWE would agree with us because they know the content that they put up then. There's no way they could air it now.
Dude, you remember Edge and Lita when they brought the bed into the mat?
Uh-huh.
And you can't do that now. You can't do that now. You can't have it, dude. You can't have Big Daddy V's do an air humping motion to one of the wrestler's mom to say, "That's what I'm gonna do to you, baby."
it was so entertaining back then. These things like WWE, The Office, Pokemon, like that sense of humor made it less kid-like and just more entertaining for not just kids but for people of every age. And it feels like, I don't know, I don't think they ever changed like the audience, not the audience, but the rating for these shows, but I guess they just can't hear these things now. I don't know if it's just you because, you know, there's a lot of activist movements going on, which I don't disagree. I think a lot of these activist movements should be going on, but I wonder if that's playing a part as to what the media is allowed to portray. Or do they just feel that they can't portray these things?
Well, the way I see it is, right, like, a lot of these companies are trying to... here's the notion that I think some people don't quite get. Hollywood makes it sound like it is with the culture, right? It is up to date. But in reality, Hollywood, the entertainment industry, has been always been a step behind. So a lot of the changes they're trying to do right now is just them playing catch up. It's them playing catch up in a time where, like, thanks to social media, it is quickly to catch one misunderstanding, one misstep. Right? Even when, like, say, you have an episode that covers a certain topic, but you have to wait for the episode after it, the next episode, to get the full context because the producer of that show wanted to expand more on that topic. But thanks to social media, everyone will be honed on that one episode and start just tearing down the studio, even though the producer might say, no, check the next episode, wait for next week, because next week is going to blow your mind, because we did not want to do a one episode of focusing on this topic. We want to focus more into it, so that's why we're going to do a part two of this. But you can't, because social media quickly tears down the production, tears down the team. Like, it's crazy. It's very crazy. But that's why I say things is much more simpler back in the early 2000s, because you didn't have a quick response. People had to wait. You know? Like, that's why we had The Office ran, of course, because people didn't have a quick way to respond back saying how this episode was a bit too much, you know?
A lot of people, I'm not sure if you're familiar, our audience is familiar with the show The Office, but The Office touched on very touchy subjects, such as women's rights, racism in the employment place, just like things of diversity in the employment place. Like, it touched on all of these topics, a lot of topics that just is very relevant to just today's society, but they would make jokes out of it. Where, in my opinion, I think if there was a show right now putting out these Michael Scott jokes for these types of topics, it would just get bashed on social media.
Oh.
Like just bashed entirely.
Dude, I got one show, right, that I'm hearing that they're going to bring back. They're going to do a reboot of this. And I think it's going to be changed. Extremely changed. You ever watched a show called Ren and Stimpy?
No, I have not.
Ah, okay. So Ren and Stimpy was, I think it was on Nick. It was on Nick for a little bit, but the show was very, very mature to the point that okay. Nick could not air it no more. So it was like now sent over to Spike. And mm-hmm. The show had some the humor was like some dark humor stuff. Like there was one episode where Ren as a kid was just torturing a frog. Yeah. And he was torturing a frog as a kid, did not show concern for it, right? And by the end of the episode, the frog asked Ren to finish the job. Like, look, man, I can't live like this, man. Just finish the job. And he didn't. He did. Like, that's how dark humor it is. And they want to bring that back.
I see. I was going to say, since you just touched on Nick for a second,
mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the show Drake and Josh?
Yes.
So, you know, Drake and Josh, practically every episode, Drake would have a different girlfriend.
Oh, he would have
the girl in his room, whatever the case is. Just think about it. If a show like that was to air on Nickelodeon now, how do you think parents would react to see their 10-year-old kid watching a show like Drake and Josh?
Dude, Twitter is gonna say, yo, why you have a womanizer?
Yeah.
Womanizer on this show. Come on. I got daughters, okay, man? I got daughters. Got angels over here.
You know, at the same time, obviously, these parents, whoever's coming, they're right, but I feel like it limits what these producers can produce in terms of comedy or, like, storytelling, and it kind of sucks in that nature because I think shows like Drake and Josh or like The Office was just genius.
My thing is this. A lot of people want to quickly take, like, quickly remove something because of the fear of someone getting harmed, right? But the thing is like, you can't live in a bubble. That's one. Two is like, a lot of reasons why these shows are very successful is because in some aspect they reflect life, and
exactly.
They do it in a way where it's funny, enjoyable. Like WWE had some ridiculous storylines, like I'll put on the edge storylines, but as a kid when you're watching it, you just are entertained, and that's the main point of entertainment. It is to be entertained.
Yeah, and I think by watering down a lot of what's being produced nowadays, you don't get that same entertainment aspect. And not even that. The show is just less relatable because life is not watered down. It's not. You know, if that makes any sense to you, Johnny.
Yeah, it does make sense. Like, we wouldn't get Malcolm Middle. We wouldn't get King of the Hill. We wouldn't, you know those two shows, right?
I'm sorry, what you said, Johnny?
King of the Hill and Malcolm Middle?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We wouldn't get those two iconic shows. And those two shows, they cover life. They cover the aspect of life. They make sure they always, always make sure to do it respectfully. They did push the buttons, right? There's a couple times where a lot of these shows that back in the day pushed the envelope, but it was still in a respectful manner. They never went so far and then not have the episode ends with the main character realize that what she did was like wrong and they just make amends.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like You ever watch the show Family Matters? I think that was a Nickelodeon show, correct?
No.
I know, well, I watched it on Nickelodeon. I know episodes aired there, but I know where it was originally.
So, because I remember watching, Family Matters on UPN back in the day.
Okay, yeah, so I'm not 100% sure who actually produced it and aired it originally, but I remember watching episodes on Nickelodeon. I could be wrong, I was very young at the time, but the same way you're saying there, they would touch on very sensitive subjects such as racism, but they would do it in a very appropriate way, but it did get the message across. The Office, on the other hand, I don't know if they touched it in the most appropriate way possible, but it definitely did get some type of message across with some type of humor, but it made the show a bit relatable, but just entertaining to watch, because sometimes I think no matter how serious a subject is, in my opinion, if you make it too serious,
no one's watching.
You don't actually, besides that, but you don't confront the situation because everyone is now thinking, all right, this is so serious, we can't even discuss it. If it's so serious and it's such a big issue, it needs to be discussed, it needs to be talked about, it needs to be worked past to where it's no longer an issue.
And, yeah, like, to add more to that, it's doing it through humor like The Office, it would bring the conversation up.
In the first episode, I work in corporate America. And in the office that I work at, whenever post-COVID, whenever we had certain trainings, there will always be references to the TV show The Office just to add some humor into it, just to shed light, say, hey, officers tend to experience these issues. You know, let's watch a clip of The Office to see how they handle it. Just like have everyone laughing a little bit, and then they would get into the training and say, hey guys, if you think you see any of this in the office, let HR know, let the appropriate person know, whatever the case is. And this, they'd be like, hey, this may be considered inappropriate. Don't do what Michael Scott is doing in The Office, obviously. That's very insensitive. But things like that add some humor in it, and not everyone's walking around just all serious all the time, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because that just means everyone's scared.
Exactly.
And
I think fear is one of the worst things, because if you're afraid of something and you're not confronting the issue, it never gets resolved.
And you start, and people start getting bitter, they start getting resentful because they don't have a way to settle that uncomfortable conversation. The uncomfortable thought. Like that conversation needs to be had. And sometimes it needs to be in your front of your face. Like The Office was needed because it's funny, but also it did help people start conversations like, oh, that was a bit creepy. That was a pretty good episode.
And The Office, it's amazing. I think almost every corporate environment you go to, there's always an office reference. Everyone knows the show. Everyone loves the show. The humor from the show, it was just genius. But my fear is if someone wants to try to make a show like that now,
it'll be hard.
Because they're too insensitive. They might get potential lawsuits, or they may just get bashed and destroyed on social media to the point where the network has to drop the show.
I gotta agree with you on that, because I don't see, like, now I just don't see anyone trying to do like their own version of The Office.
No.
Because the pushback would be very, very huge, you know? Like, yes,
and, you know, it's like I keep stressing, you know, there are very serious topics in The Office, and I do think some things, you know, you can't make crazy jokes on, but having those jokes, it kind of takes things in a different light.
It
helps people. People like to laugh, and if they can not be dreadful and fearful of a situation, they might react to the situation properly, because if they're just scared the whole time, they may just like shut their eye away if they were to see something inappropriate in the office that they worked at.
And the thing too is it slowly makes the topic normal to talk about, which is right now what the country is like trying to work on. It's trying to make these difficult conversations to be normal. It's not a conversation where like the moment you just hear a certain word, you gone. You just like
deny the existence of that. Like, you know, diversity in the workplace, racism, these are all trending big problems. If people can admit that they're there, they can confront the issue. They don't deny that these issues don't exist. I think if that was to happen, then the issues would not exist anymore. You know, that's just my give or take.
Because another thing about these TV shows is, there's a lot of people that just don't know what the other is living, right? Like, you live your own personal life. So if you watch The Office, you can see, oh, so that's a little bit of what the other is doing and what they're worried about. Because if you don't have shows like that, a lot of people will just be in their own world. And in a real world setting, when they're confronted by the other with their problems and issues, the connect is gonna be not there. There will be no connection because you who in your own world just don't understand that. You know, it's like the person will say, "Huh, that never happened to me."
Yeah, and that's the thing, is not everywhere is. For instance, a lot of the states, they don't have the Manhattan structure that we have out here, Johnny, where you're working amongst thousands of people, maybe just your company alone, and then you walk out there and you're in Manhattan, or you're surrounded by millions of people, and there's like these different issues every day. You go to somewhere different where it's just like, let's just say the town population might be 1,000, the issue that these guys deal with is completely different to what we may deal with in Manhattan. So having these shows publicize it, make some humor out of it, I think is needed. It gives the folks that live in a smaller town a glimpse of these issues. It gives the folks like us that live in these busy towns just, you know, some humor behind things that we see every day.
Yeah, even like the shows that was really popping back in the day was Scrubs. Mm-hmm. Scrubs was a medical show, had a lot of people from different cultures, but it had some jokes that was just, you couldn't repeat now, but the experience is still fun. And that's the thing too, is like, that's the thing people like glossing over. The experience, was it pleasant or was it bad? Because a show that gives you a bad experience, those shows are not successful. They usually get canceled or don't get a lot of seasons. The shows that give you a good experience, they last longest. That's just what it is.
And I think, like you said, the shows that last longest are just the shows that are real, ultimately. I mean, simple as Pokemon. I mean, it's a cartoon show, but I think they kept it real. And now, I don't know, maybe it'll keep going on, but it won't capture the same audience that it captured in the past. Or it won't portray the same type of humor, the same type of message that it may have portrayed in the past.
Yeah, like, I'm just, like, when I'm watching Pokemon, I started, like, talking about this Pokemon reminds me of all the serious episodes where, like, you see each Pokemon have their own personal struggle. Like, remember Charmander? He was abandoned by his trainer.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it touched on, like, I guess you could say serious topics. Even though it was a cartoon show, it showed that, you know, and Pokemon, an animal, a creature, however you want to consider it, can be abandoned, but then they show it can find friends, it can find a new family. You know, and it has, like, character development within these Pokemons as well. And I just don't see things like that happening, but there's new Pokemon, there's just a lot of new TV shows in general, you know, it's just very touchy subjects with certain TV shows.
Yeah, like, we wouldn't have shows like Psych that was on the USA Channel Network. Psych was a great show to watch, and it did have some a little bit, just a little bit of off-color jokes, but the show was still watchable. The show was still enjoyable. The show was around for about, if I believe, seven or six years. Had two movies.
I agree with you on that, Johnny. And I think what helped Psych a lot was the fact that the two main characters, it was a diverse main two characters, if that makes sense. There was Gus and there was Sean, which touched on the diversity quota of a show, in my opinion. I wouldn't say that grants a show the right to make the jokes that they made, but it allowed them to make it. And in the time era of when the show ran, the jokes could have been made. Do you think if the show was airing now and they made those jokes, do you think people would have reacted positively and felt it was a joke, or how do you think they would have reacted now?
The way I see it, people would hone in on just like one cringy moment. Just like it was just like one little thing that was a bit off. People would be killing the show over it. Uh-huh. Even when the show makes it very noticeable that what that character did was cringy. Like everybody looked at him like, really?
He said that. I mean, let's just say they made a racist joke and the character that made it was Gus that was portrayed by Duke Hill. If he made it, I feel like even he would have gotten criticized for it nowadays. Whereas back then it was more of humor. And, you know, I keep emphasizing that the light should be shed on these issues. But by hiding behind them, I don't think you're shedding the proper light or you're giving true acknowledgement. You're just making it a bit, I don't know, not, you can't say it was too serious, like it is very serious, but you're just making people afraid of things, and when people are afraid, they don't react the way they should react.
You can't make everything taboo. That's the thing. Everything cannot be taboo, because, look, what I gotta say about taboo is just, as long as the producer, the writer, the director knows how to handle the topic, like knows how to like unpackage the idea, the thought, and explain it in a way where it's received positively, they should have the chance to do it. And I also would allow the chance for them to not get it right the first time. Because, look, you're not always going to get everything right the first time, but at least you tried. You learn from the mistake, you do it again, you get a success, you know? Like stand-up comedians, all the jokes that you hear now as popular, that is spread around, the spread from person to person, the reason why those jokes are popping because a stand-up comedian goes to the comedy clubs and work out the jokes. They work out the jokes. That's the only way they can improve their skill. They have to tell the joke to a live audience. If they get silence, they have to workshop that idea, do it again. Still sounds, workshop the idea. And just keep doing it until they figure out the right way of how to say it where it's received.
Exactly. But you see, the thing is, in today's society, if a TV show aired something that was portrayed insensitive by the media, I just don't think they're getting a second chance. I think they're just going to get crucified in the media.
Oh, definitely.
And then they'll have to apologize, and have to remove the character, they make, you know, consequences, which will lead shows to either not air these things, not publicize the issue, or whatever the case is, and I think that just ultimately bad.
It kills creativity. That's what I look at. It kills the creativity because, like, yes, you can have tons of writers, right? Because a lot of people say, well, if the show really wanted to get its point across, then it should have done enough research, it should have got the appropriate writers, and I would say yes to that, but at the same time, sometimes you miss the point. Sometimes these writers don't fully understand the topic, but at least they introduce it.
And it's sometimes not even just understand the topic, whatever topic you're trying to make try to touch on, it may just be a big topic, it may be a broad topic where it just can't be touched on a 5-second clip. It may need to be its own episode, it may need a follow-up episode, or they may just not know how to handle it and then they make a complete mistake out of it.
And that happens. That happens. Yeah. But as long as the show acknowledged it was a mistake and then try to find some way to work through it, then let that show be. Now, if it's just been making mistakes like every episode and there's no resolutions, then like, I can understand why that show will be canceled.
Yeah.
But you gotta, the public, the audience have to let these shows breathe.
Yeah.
You know, because think about this. Say you're a writer that just pitched a show to CBS. It's a show that you've been planning for years, that you've been fostering in your head. You finally got the green light, and by episode 5, one character did not portray the right emotion for this topic, and then Twitter overnight just murders the show to the point where CBS has to make an announcement of like, we're canceling this new show we had on. We didn't understand. We didn't know that the guy was gonna go into this topic with not the right equipment, the right people. We apologize and we won't do it again. Like, that's a bit much, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with you there, and I think shows need that, not just second chance, but sometimes they need the time to get their message across. And sometimes their message might just be big picture, or it may be small picture. I mean, you look at, I keep bringing up The Office, but while The Office got its point across in every single episode, it was a broader storytelling aspect of office issues, or issues that people within an office would face, such as a crazy boss, diversity in the workplace. And if you just knock it because they made a couple insensitive jokes, you don't see the whole point of what we're trying to get across. And while, you know, some people may say, all right, these jokes are insensitive, or the vast majority of people say, all right, these jokes are completely insensitive, at the end of the day, it's shedding light on an issue. And to go back to the example of when I had training within the company that I work at, and the training department shows these episodes of The Office, they always say, do not act like Michael Scott, or don't do these things. And everyone will laugh, and everyone will acknowledge that it's a problem, but everyone can agree that by having some humor and something to laugh about, it sheds a different light, and no one is going to go and do that now.
Because the thing about it is, these shows are not real. Like what I said earlier is like a good show is a show that can reflect life. It reflects life, but at the same time, it's not real.
Exactly.
It's not real.
A good show, well, to be fair, the shows aren't real, but good shows reflect real issues. And the thing about it is that, yes, people want to see something that's real, but there are certain things that I think humans gravitate toward. And humor is one of those big things. Humor, food, you know, these types of things are things that people gravitate toward. And if you reduce the humor, you take away the humor, people will gravitate towards it. It'll have a smaller audience, and it just ultimately won't spread the same message. And whether that's the media that's afraid to air it because they think people will just react to it poorly because people say these big topics are too insensitive, or if the media is correct in saying that people will say it, like, you know, maybe the media is just, they have this fear, but the media is correct, and it can be perceived either way. And that's the weird part about it, is that, you know, you can't truly blame the media for pouring out what can be said as censored content instead of the uncensored version now, because they're not sure if people react poorly or they're just overreacting. It can be either one, but I think they might just be playing it safe.
Yeah, and to me, that don't move the culture. That's how I look at it. It does move the culture, because if we talk, if the media, right, the machine wanted to play safe in the early 2000s, then we're not gonna have Mad TV, because Mad TV wasn't playing it safe. You wouldn't have Dave Chappelle, the Dave Chappelle Show, that wasn't playing it safe, you know. We wouldn't have, see, I'm not really a fan of this show, but I can understand why it's very popular, Tosh.0.
Dude, I mean, to be real, you would have half of the shows that got put out on TBS, on BET, you don't even have to go as far as that. Half of the shows that got put out on the original, like, Nickelodeon, what you're talking about, let's just say Family Matters did air on it, but you got Family Matters, you have the kids' shows like Drake and Josh, the cartoon like Hey Arnold, a lot of these things would be too insensitive for nowadays.
Yeah, because if you, in context, right, when you look at Family Matters, right, everyone loves Steve Urkel. Everyone loves Steve Urkel. He's the star of the show, correct?
Yeah.
He was, if you use today's lenses on that show that came out, like, in the 90s, he a creep.
Yeah.
He a creep. He was pretty much stalking Laura. Every moment every episode she tells him, you know, Steve, I'm not into you. Leave me alone. I'm not into you. Leave me alone. Go after someone else. Not, you know.
And then the crazy part is, I feel like if a show that was portraying that message got aired now, people would be like, yeah, they gotta get that character out of the show. They gotta do something. And then the true underlying messages that this show was trying to air would no longer get portrayed.
Because
I think that's a bigger problem than people's initial reaction.
Because look,
whether it's people's initial reactions or it's the media's fear of what people react, because I cannot speak onto what the underlying problem is. Is it just the media's fear of how people react, or will it actually just be people's reaction? Now I'm just curious to know what other people might think of that, you know?
Yeah, because if Family Matters was playing now and they canceled the show because Steve Urkel, right, you wouldn't have episodes where they talk about gang violence. You wouldn't talk about episodes of bone cancer. They wouldn't have episodes talking about police brutality, police racism.
Because,
dude, I still remember that episode where Eddie drove home late. Carl thought that he was messing around, and Eddie was breaking down to say, no, a police officer pulled me over because I was driving in a white neighborhood while black.
And I remember when his dad confronted the two officers. I think they were at a diner, and they straight up told him, keep your son out of our neighborhood, or he shouldn't have been in our neighborhood, or something along those lines. Am I wrong there, or am I right?
Yes, it started with the cop saying, oh, he would have said that you was his father, I wouldn't even arrest him. Because that blue shield. But Eddie and Carl just like, that's not the point. You arrested my son for no reason. You did this to my son for no reason because you were a racist pig. And he not only ended that way too. He also got his partner. Carl talked to the partner. The partner saying, "You know, son, you also part of the problem too. Because yes, you did not lay a finger on my son. You did not participate in what that guy was doing. But here's the thing: you still allow that to happen. You're
exactly.
still." Which.
And my thing is, right, Johnny, is an episode like that is 100% relevant to today's society. The things that was portrayed there happens today, and it goes even further than this harassment. You know, there are people that are getting killed, innocent guys, or people that are getting beaten or abused or whatever by these officers because of racism. And having TV shows that portrays it in the media, it's important because it lets people not forget the issues. And when a show like Family Matters, that's technically a comedy show, airs an issue like that, I think it makes people realize it. Whereas, and it also still, like, if I remember the episode correctly, there was still some humor within the episode, but if you just make the matter too serious, people will fear it, and then
they change the channel because it's too real. It's too real, so people just change the channel because they don't want to face that reality. But
yeah, and then not just face reality, but then there are people that will deny it. They'll say, oh, no, that doesn't exist, or whatever the case is. But, you know, I think adding the humor, letting the person actually watch the episode on one show, and then another show portrays the same issue or a similar issue, it happens. And then Family Matter, and correct me if I'm wrong, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air aired the same time or around the same time.
Yes, yes.
And during that time, there was an episode where both Will and Carlton had gotten arrested, and the two officers were practically racist officers. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, the episode pretty much started with Will and Carlton are borrowing a friend's, Uncle Phil's friend's car, right? Mm-hmm. They get pulled over. Yeah. The cops ran the license plate saying, hey, this is not your car. So, and they responded back saying, yeah, it's not ours, but like we're borrowing it. It's our father's friend allowed us, which they didn't believe them. They thought they stole it. They spent like the whole night in jail trying to get in touch with Uncle Phil, which I believe they denied them from getting the telephone call.
Yeah, if I remember the episode correctly too, I think you're correct. But my point is that there were several shows, comedy-based, but aired real-life problems. And if we have more shows like that today that isn't afraid of having the sense of humor, having these types of things shown, I think it would help today's society. But the underlying problem is, are these shows afraid to do it, or do these shows, or do these media outlets just straight up think that they'll get crucified, or do they know that they'll get crucified? And I think it's one of these problems, and no one knows the true underlying history of why things are being so censored. In my opinion, we went from having a bit more insensitive, uncensored, but yet censored content at the same time, to now a very watered down media outlet, very watered down TV shows that are being produced.
Because like there's a lot of shows that like they do cover those serious topics, but they have a bad way of like handling it. Like the jokes they're trying to do to help make that serious moment, that serious topic, much more light to take in, is like lukewarm humor. It's not the type of humor that will still make you want to watch the show. It's like the joke you're trying to do leads into the serious topic, and you can tell exactly what they're doing. Like you're not being tricked. You're not being. It's like pretty much like a parent trying to have their kids eat vegetables. If the kids see the vegetables, he's not gonna eat it. But if you disguise it with rice, disguise it with other food, the kid will still eat vegetables but not know it. That's pretty much what The Office did. That's what Family Matters did. The humor was the disguise for the vegetables, which is needed.
And that's my thing. I think we should have more shows like that. Shows should not be watered down. Shows should hear the realism of life. It should, you know, from cartoon shows for kids to the older shows for teenagers and adults, none of it should be watered down. It should show what it really is. And whether it's just people just thinking that these producers are too insensitive, they should give the show a chance. Or maybe that's not the case. Maybe no one will react poorly, but then the media outlet needs to be a bit more brave to actually air it now and then see what's going to happen. And I think that is just the underlying thing that needs to get talked about in today's episode. And I'm very curious on our listeners' opinions. if you guys can go on our Twitter page and just give some feedback as to what you think about our thoughts. Do you think that these shows are too watered down today? Do you think that shows should still be airing this type of humor and then follow it by a message? Or do you think what the media airing today is appropriate, and if we go back to that, it'll just not be realistic, it'll just be too insensitive for today. What's your opinion? Do you think the media, just give us your thoughts, guys. I'm really curious to read through everyone, and everyone that comments, I'll try my best to respond back. Bo, Johnny, and I will try to respond back to everyone, have an ongoing, engaging conversation with everyone. And then from there, we'll try to have a future episode to continue on this.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to hear you guys' responses, you know?
Yes. And with that being said, guys, it's your boy Axel Flex and
Johnny Fax.
And thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Too Broke into NYC.
Y'all remember, keep it real at NYC.